Amen. Amen. Giving all praises to God, recognizing Dr. Bryan and to all the officers and members that share with us in the service of the Lord. Amen. We are indeed grateful that the Lord has spared us to see the 12th month of 2024. He's allowed us to see the first Sunday of Advent as we wait on the coming of the Lord. He's allowed us to be thankful for what he has given to us. But we know that between after Thanksgiving comes Christmas. And so as we get our hearts and mind ready for this Christmas season, we would like to share with you from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And you can put your bookmarker there, Luke 2, 8 through 20. We'll be looking at that passage for the rest of the month, for the rest of the year. Luke 2, 8 through 20. But this morning, we want to use as a subject, "Twas the Night." Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. I'm reading from the New King James Version. You can read from whatever version you have. By the inspiration of God, by the pen of Luke, these words are recorded. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen, that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. We read into your hearing Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. We're going to just deal with verse 8 today, so don't worry. We ain't going to preach it all today. We just verse 8. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And so we simply want to talk about "Twas the Night." It was night when Christ was born. And it is night in our world today. And I believe that we can learn from these shepherds how we can live out, our calling and keep doing what the Lord has called us to do, even though we have to serve on the night shift. Some people are privileged and blessed and have the opportunity to work the morning shift, 8 to 5, as with everyone else. But there are times when God calls his servants to work the night shift. The night shift is a different shift. It's a different time. There are different things you have to be aware of. There's less supervision on the night shift. There's less interaction on the night shift. But yet, in times like these, we're called to serve on the night shift. Yes, it is night in our world today. It is night in our social order. There's wars and rumors of wars. There's countries against countries, clans against clans. There's isms all over the place. There's old isms. There's new isms. We have racism, classism. Now we have new economic ism. We have all these new problems in our social order. So many people are worried and concerned about the government, but I come by today to tell you God has not given this world over to men. The scripture still tells us the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He still rules and he still super rules. But it's night in our social order. But it's also night in our mental order. Everyone is anxious. Everyone is on edge. Everyone is a victim. Everyone has a problem. We're all succumbed to the issues in our mental health. Yes, in our mental health. What are some of the popular mental health books out on the shelf today? I Belong Deeply to Myself, Learning to Love Myself, An Anxious Generation, and Nobody's Normal. Those are all indicators that we have night in our mental order. People are worried, frustrated, bewildered, really hard to find their way. But I find that we can still trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Trust in him in all your ways and acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Yes, even in these times when clouds of anxieties are floating in our mental skies, we have to remember that the sun will shine. Not only is it night in our social order, it's night in our mental order, but it's also night in our spiritual order. Yes, we have problems even in our spiritual fight. So often today we are concerned about being happy, concerned about being rich. We like nice little sermons about relaxation and how to keep your blood pressure down. We have retranslated the gospel to read, "Go ye therefore to all the lands and keep your blood pressure down, and lo, I will make you a well-adjusted personality." We live in a world where it's night in our spiritual order. Night is a time when colors lose their differences. Everything becomes a murky shade of gray. There's nothing absolutely right. There's nothing absolutely wrong. There's nothing absolutely the truth. As long as someone can imagine a counter argument, we gotta restart the discussion. There's nothing ever settled because it's night in our spiritual order. We see in this night a moral laxity. There's a tendency. There's nothing absolutely wrong except to get caught. Only problem we have now is Who else is doing it? We can do it as long as we can point out somebody else did it. The chains of conformity is destroying our soul. So many are caught up with clicks and ticks and worried about likes and comments rather than pleasing the Almighty God. But even though it's night in our social order, even though it's night in our mental order, even though it's night in our spiritual order, the children of God are still singing the hymn of old. Hymn from our hymn book number 339. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, and this is the part right here I need you to get. Through the night, lead me on to the light. Yes, yes, even in times like these, we could call on the Lord to lead us on through the night. Yes, it's night. But we can learn from these shepherds. We can learn two important lessons from these shepherds. First lesson that we can learn from these shepherds, that dark was the night that Christ was born. The night that Christ was born was dark. And as we are experiencing a darkness so deep that we can hardly see our way, as the shadows distort our sights, make shadows bigger and longer, we are living in a time of night that's unusual because there are so many false lights out there. There are so many false lights in our homes, so many false lights in our rooms, in our hands, in our face, lights that are blinking, lights that are flickering, lights that are gleaming, but they are not the light that help us find our way. In fact, the opposite is happening. In this darkness, we find ourselves feeling lonely. Although we are connected, we could talk to people around the world. We could share photos with our families all over the world. Yet more and more people are feeling alone. This darkness so deep has caused a loneliness. It reminds me of a story of a little girl who was afraid of the dark. Her dad has put her to sleep. He had read a story to her, had told her one of the family legends, prayed, said, Jesus in the room with you. Laid down, turned off the light, he went out. A few minutes later, baby girl cried out, Daddy! He runs in the room, what's the matter? She said, the room was dark and I saw a shadow and I became scared. He said, didn't I tell you Jesus is in the room with you? And she said, found comfort in her dad's encouragement, felt like she could do it. And she closed her eyes, lay back in bed, turned off the lights, left the room. And soon she heard a bump in the night. A shadow moved and scared her. She cried out, Daddy. Daddy came running back in the room. What's the matter? What's the matter? She said, the room was dark and I saw a shadow and it scared me. He said, but didn't I tell you that Jesus was in the room with you? She said, yes, Daddy, but tonight I need Jesus with some skin on him. And in this night, we need some Jesus with some skin on him. We need the church to be the presence of Christ in the world today with some skin on him. Darkness so deep that it's making us feel lonely. But not only the dark was the night, secondly, silent was the night. The darkness so deep, but the silence was so deafening. For 400 years, there hasn't been a fresh revelation from God. It wasn't the silence of man. Because as you and I both know, man don't stop talking. We always talk. We talk in our sleep. We talk at night. We talk in the day. But it was 400 years of not an open revelation from God. People were still praying. People were still calling on the Lord. But there was not a word from heaven. And doesn't it feel like that in these times in which we live, silence from heaven? The sounds that we hear makes everything feel closer. The false sounds are so loud that we can't even hear the voice of the Lord. We're living in a time of darkness where the silence is deafening. Imagine, if you will, if it was shepherds today out in a field, and somebody had went out into the mountains and put up lights and candles, big lights, small lights, flashlights, big flashlights. And then the shepherd got to try to put his sheep to sleep. And all those lights in the mountains, and it gets dark, it's casting all of these shadows. And it's making the danger seem closer than it really is. And that's what we're dealing with today, because of technology providing all of this false light. It is causing the dangers to feel closer every day. I remember one time I came down at night to get some water. And we have some lights, decorative lights. That's what my wife called them, decorative lights. And I didn't think nothing about no decorative lights. I put them where she said put them. In the middle of the day, I put them where she said put them. And so I came down to get some water, and them decorative lights were shining on the outside of my house. I never seen decorative lights at night. I've only seen them in the day. So when them decorative lights was shining at night, it cast all of these false shadows into my house and made me afraid. And brothers and sisters, that's what's happening in our world today. We're living in a time where all these false lights and false sounds are making our dangers seem so close when they're really so far off. And we can't hear the small voice of the Lord. You remember, it was night in the time of Elijah, and Elijah was found alone, felt like he was all by himself, called for the Lord to come visit with him, and the Lord came, but he didn't come in the great and strong wind that tore up the mountains. He didn't come in the earthquake that shook the earth. He didn't come in the fire, but the scripture said he came in a still small voice. With all of the rumblings of the earth today, God still speaks in a still small voice. Twas the night that Christ was born. Dark was the night. Silent was the night. The shepherds worked on the night shift. But I'm reminded as I read scripture that God does some of his best work on the night shift. Yes, he started creation when he was working on the night shift. From the night shift, he said, let there be light. And then he started naming stuff. He named the darkness night. And then he named the light day. So that means that darkness and night was there. It was dark when he created all that we see. When he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, it wasn't with the morning light. No, the scriptures record that they left by night. God led them by a pillar of fire by night. When Paul and Silas was locked in jail, I'm pretty sure they prayed at 10 o'clock, but nothing happened. They prayed at 11 o'clock, and nothing happened. But when they prayed at midnight, God shook the jail and broke chains, and God does his best work on the midnight shift. Matter of fact, his greatest work, it started out on the morning shift. It started out when they hung Jesus high on the morning shift. On the morning shift, they stretched him wide. On the morning shift, they drove nails in his hands and rivets in his feet. Hung him between two thieves. It was on the morning shift. But God turned midday into midnight. Blocked out the Son, and then he transferred our sins onto Jesus, and he paid the price. He does his best work on the night shift. And brothers and sisters, why God can do his best work on the night shift and why we can have hope in this night hour is because we can trust in the fact that morning will come. As the light of Advent reminds us, morning will come. As Christmas reminds us, morning will come. Scripture teaches us, morning will come. Weeping may endure for a night. But if we hold on, if we hold out, stay on our knees and call on the Lord, morning will come. And Christmas, that's what it reminds us. No matter how dark it is, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how hopeless it may appear, it's only night. And if we can get through this night, as we serve on the night shift, let us remember it was night that Christ was born. May God bless you. May God keep you today. At this time, as the deacons come, the greeters come, we want to invite you to come on the Lord's side. If you haven't made a declaration in 2024, it was a goal of yours to a resolution. We invite you to come before it's everlasting too late. Will you come? Our ours to extend. It was yours to accept or reject. At this time, let us make ourselves ready for the Holy Communion.